presenting The Knight, another in a series of radio plays based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. The Knight was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Clarksburg is a small and peaceful community. It is seldom that the lives of the good people who live there are upset by such violent disturbances as murder, but almost every place, however small, has its tragedies of human passion, sooner or later. And not long ago, a murder, unexpected and mysterious, came to Clarksburg. As our story opens, a group of men are standing on the bank of a shallow stream, gazing into the water.
Hawkins.
Yep, Sheriff.
Everything just like it was when you made the discovery?
Yep, nary a stick of stone's been touched.
All right. Carl, fish him out and we'll see who it is.
Okay, Sheriff. Give me a hand, boys. Here, take his feet, Bill.
Now, easy. Easy, boys, easy. Put him down here.
Say, Sheriff, this didn't happen very long ago.
Why do you say that, Carl?
Well, look. The body's still limber.
It is, eh? Rigamortis hasn't set in yet. Well, roll him over and let's have a look at him. Good Lord. It's Abe Durkin. Now, who in the world would want to kill him?
Why, this is awful, Sheriff. Oh, poor Abe.
That pretty little wife of his'n will take it right bad.
Hawkins, anybody with you when you found the body?
Nary a soul, Sheriff. I was mending my fences and kind of checking up. And along here, I seen this Abe here. Laying face down in the water.
What'd you find, Carl?
Got shot twice, Sheriff. Here and here. Close range, too.
Now, Hawkins, you say you're inspecting your fences along here. Your land's on this side of the street.
That's right.
You don't own that patch of woods across there, too, do you?
Oh, no.
Carl, take a look around and see if you can find a weapon.
Right, Sheriff.
Now, the rest of you fellas spread out and cover as much ground as you can. So, you were mending your fence, Hawkins. Did you hear any shots fired?
Well, I can't be sure about it.
What do you mean, you can't be sure?
Well, I heard something like a couple of shots. But then again, it might be an auto engine backfiring. You see, Art McGovern's Ford has a habit of doing just that.
Where did that sound come from? Down this way?
Yeah, but the road runs right along back of them trees over yonder, you know. Could have been here or there, the sound come.
Find anything, boys?
No guns in the water, Sheriff.
Nothing over here, either.
Well, let's see what we can find out right here. Now, open his jacket, Hawkins.
What? Who, me?
Yes, I was speaking to you.
Now, if you don't mind, Sheriff, I'd rather not touch him.
Why not?
Well, I can't stand to touch a dead body. Not even my own stock. I have to call in one of the boys to bury it if one of the animals dies on me.
Is that so? Well, then, I guess I'll have to do it myself. We'll have a look in his pockets first. Well, he hasn't been robbed. Money's here in his pocket. His watch is on him, too. And it's still running.
Sheriff.
Well?
Mac and Gene found these over there in the rushes.
Empty gun shells.
Yep. That's the slug that fixed Abe's back for him.
And a .22 caliber cartridge.
That's what made that little hole, Sheriff, near his collarbone there.
Well, whoever did this fired a rifle into him for good and gruesome measure.
They didn't need to, Sheriff. The shotgun did the trick.
The murderer didn't know that, Carl. Or else was so angry or jealous that he wanted to make sure he'd done a good job.
But who could have wanted to kill Abe? Why, he was the most popular mail carrier in town.
You don't know, do you, Hawkins?
Who? Me? No, I don't know, no.
Well, I kind of thought you might.
Just found this, Sheriff.
What you got there, Len?
Why, look, an open jackknife.
Where'd you find it, Len?
Over there in the grass, right near the fence.
Say, let's take a look around that spot.
All right.
Right here, you say, Len?
Yep.
Now, the grass and weeds ain't trampled, so it don't look like there was any struggle.
Say, that knife, Sheriff.
What about it, Carl?
I don't think it could have any connection with the murder. There's no blood on it.
Well, it might have been wiped off.
But there aren't any cuts on the body, and there's no rips in the clothing.
Yes, you're right.
Maybe it belonged to Abe, though. Maybe he drew it to defend himself, huh?
He never had a chance to defend himself. The shotgun hole in his back proves that.
Yeah, that's true, Sheriff.
The knife was found here. The body away over there, in the water. No, Carl, I don't think the knife belongs to Abe.
Hey, it's a real fancy knife, isn't it?
We ought to be able to find someone who used to carry a knife like this. Let's start with Harkins. Perhaps he can tell us. I'll just go over and... Say, where is he, Sheriff? He was right over there a minute ago when Lou brought us the knife.
Now, don't get excited, Carl.
Don't get excited, Sheriff. Well, look, Harkins has run away.
Well, that's all right. We can pick him up when we want him. But we've got a little investigating to do first.
Oh, yeah? What do you mean, Sheriff?
Well, I just happened to remember something. Mrs. Biddle gave away some prizes or presents to her Sunday school class a short time ago, didn't she?
Why, yes. Yes, I think she did. Why?
Do you happen to remember just what those prizes were?
No, I don't, Sheriff. But what's that got to do with this case?
Plenty. Mrs. Biddle gave away fancy jackknives.
I get it. Find out whose knife is missing, and we'll get somewhere.
Maybe. But at least it's worth trying. Well, come along, boys. We're calling on Mrs. Biddle.
Mrs. Biddle identified the jackknives as being identical to the six she had recently given away as prizes in her Sunday school class. Within an hour, the sheriff's men had located five of the prize winners and had accounted for five knives. The sixth prize winner was Willie Harkins, son of the man who had discovered the body and then so quickly disappeared. We now find the sheriff and his deputy racing to the Harkins home.
No wonder Harkins disappeared so fast.
Yeah. And I clean forgot that his boy, Willie, was in Mrs. Biddle's Sunday school class.
I hope we get there in time, Sheriff.
We may find something interesting, Carl. And then again, we may be barking up the wrong tree.
Well, there's the Harkins' farmhouse.
Drive right up to the front porch.
Right. Hey, who's that in the doorway?
It looks like one of the Harkins girls to me. The oldest one. What's her name?
Gilda.
That's right, Gilda. And her sister's name is Selena. I'm always getting them twisted.
Well, that's Gilda, all right. Say, she's getting to be some swell looker. You know, Sheriff, Joe Black was telling me...
Now, listen, Carl. We're here on official business.
Oh.
Well, here we are. Nice driving, Mr. Deputy. Hello, Gilda. Your father home?
No, he isn't.
Uh-oh. Our bird has flown the coop.
We'll see. Willie home?
Yes, he's here.
Oh, we're coming in. Got the search warrant, Carl?
Yep, right here, sir.
Let's go.
What do you want to see Willie for?
Oh, just for a couple of minutes. Hey, Sheriff?
Now, quit your kidding, Carl. Gilda, we just want to ask your brother a few questions.
What about?
You'll find out in due time. Where is Willie?
Inside.
Suppose you invite us in.
What for?
Oh, now listen here, Gilda. You're talking to the law, remember?
Oh, Gilda's not going to give us any trouble, Carl. She's going to open the door for us and ask us in. Aren't you, Gilda?
Pa's not home. I don't know whether I should or not.
Of course, I don't want to say whether you should or you shouldn't. But my advice is, be a nice girl and open the door.
All right. Come on in.
Ah, that's right, my girl. Now, where's Willie?
Upstairs. I'll call him.
Willie? Willie? What do you want? Come here. The sheriff wants to see you.
Mind if we sit down, Gilda?
Of course not.
Where's your father, Gilda?
I don't know.
You expect him home to supper, don't you?
I reckon so.
Well, now, come. I wonder what's keeping Willie. Carl, you'd better go see.
Okay, Sheriff.
What do you want to see Willie for, Sheriff Gates?
Oh, I just want to have a little talk with him.
Maybe I can tell you what you want to know.
I hardly think so, Gilda.
Want to see me?
Hello, Willie. Yes, I do. Now, sit down.
Sure.
Over here. Near me. Ah, that's it.
What you want to see me for?
Willie, you go to Sunday school, don't you?
Sure. Everybody does.
Well, everybody ought to, anyway. Now, tell me, who's your teacher?
Mrs. Biddle.
Mrs. Biddle. She gave you a jackknife as a present a while back, didn't she?
Yep. All the fellas in the class got one. They were dandy.
I'll bet. Will you show me the one you got?
I can't.
Why not?
Because I lost it.
You lost it? Where did you lose it?
I don't know. If I did, I found it, wouldn't I?
Yes, of course. That was stupid of me to ask that, wasn't it?
What do you want to see Willie's knife for?
Now, Gilda, you just go right ahead getting supper ready while I talk to Willie here.
Oh, Sheriff.
What is it, Carl?
Sheriff, look what I found upstairs in a closet.
A double-barreled shotgun and rifle.
You ain't got no right to snoop around here.
Oh, yes, we have. We've got a search warrant, Gilda. Show it to us.
Here it is, Gilda.
Willie, did you know about these guns being hidden up there?
No, I didn't.
I found them in a room, Sheriff, that Willie just came out of.
Did you hide those guns, Willie?
No, I didn't. I don't know anything about them.
Now, what were you doing up there when we came in?
I was studying my Sunday school lesson.
Listen, Sheriff, on the shelf, I found these two boxes. Look, shells and cartridges.
Same caliber.
Just like the ones we found in the body of Abe Durkin.
So that's why you're here. You think my brother had something to do with that?
I haven't said so. But if these shells and cartridges check, it'll go pretty hard with somebody around this house.
I don't know nothing about them. I don't know nothing about them, I tell you.
Willie, did you ever see this before?
Don't let him fool you, Willie. He's trying to make you say that's your jackknife.
Is this your knife, Willie?
Well, it looks like mine.
That don't prove anything, Willie. Mrs. Biddle gave all the boys one just like yours.
So she did, Gilda. But you might be interested to know that we've checked up on all the others, and they still have their pocket knives.
Anybody else might have one of these, too.
No, not in Clarksburg. Mrs. Biddle sent to the city specially for them.
I guess that'll hold you, Gilda.
Now, Willie, is this yours?
Well, I guess so. Where'd you find it?
In the rushes, about 20 feet from Abe Durkin's body.
No, you couldn't have.
But we did, Willie.
I don't know how it got there. Honest, I don't. I don't know nothing about it. Gilda, tell him I don't know nothing about it.
It looks mighty bad for you, Willie. This is your knife, and we found these weapons in the room you were in when we cased.
I don't know anything about them. Gilda, tell him I don't. Don't let them arrest me. Please, Gilda, please.
Willie's telling the truth, Sheriff.
Maybe so, but we'll have to take him along on suspicion. Come along, Willie.
No, I won't go. You can't take me away. Gilda!
Come on, Willie.
Gilda, don't let them take me away.
I won't, Willie.
Gilda. Gilda, what are you doing?
Put that gun down, Gilda.
Put your hand up, both of you. There's still one shell left in the shotgun. Now, run, Willie, run!
This will go harder to you, Gilda, interfering with the law.
Now you can put your hands down.
Here, give me back that gun, Gilda.
Willie didn't have anything to do with the killing of Abe Durkin, and you ain't going to arrest him.
All the evidence points that way.
It don't mean anything, Sheriff. I know Willie didn't have anything to do with it.
How do you know?
Because I did it.
You?
Yes, me. And I do it again, the dirty rap.
What do you mean by that?
Me and Selina was out shooting squirrels this afternoon, and I took Willie's knife to pry out the shells. We met Abe Durkin coming along the road. I kept right on going, but Selina stopped to talk to him. When she didn't follow me, I went back, and I found him making love to her. So I shot him. I shot him straight in the back. Then I took the rifle from Selina and let him have another, just to make sure. If I hadn't dropped the knife, you'd never found out.
Why, Gilda? Why did you have to kill him?
Because I wouldn't let him make love to my sister like he'd made love to me.
Be sure to read the details that led up to the almost perfect murder. It will appear under the title Surprising Climax to Edwardsville's Murder Mystery, which is but one of the many interesting stories and articles of wide variety appearing in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed to all Hearst Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. This is Wentworth announcing. Full details of the many stories which appear in next Sunday's American Weekly will now be given to you by your own announcer. Presenting The Christmas Eve Ghost, another in a series of radio plays based on stories featured in the American Weekly, the magazine which is distributed with all Hearst's Sunday newspapers from coast to coast. The Christmas Eve Ghost was produced in the New York studios of the General Broadcasting Company. Men of the sea are superstitious, even more so than landsmen. The sky, the swell of the ocean surface, birds wheeling and screaming around a ship, all these apparently innocent details have certain ominous interpretations for your sailor man. So it's not surprising that there should be wild tales of haunted ships and shipwrecks which lie fathoms deep or beached on the sandy shores off the New England coast. In the middle of the last century, no sturdier, smarter, five-masted schooner ever sailed the seas than the Ruth I. Brown. Her skipper, a huge, brawny seaman named Cobb, as good a captain as ever ordered the foretack heave down, had one outstanding characteristic. He was deeply religious. Too religious to suit his men, he always carried a parson on board ship to hold services.